If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. I want to remind you that at the end of chapter 26, it says that when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a source of grief to his parents, Isaac and Rebekah. Now, beginning in Genesis chapter 27, this is the reading of God's Word. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him, and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" I am your son, he answered, your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me! Bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother came and deceitfully took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine, so what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father answered him, your dwelling will be away from earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. True story. Not the nicest people on the planet. Okay? One of the things I appreciate about Scripture is that it is not only all true, it is all true. But sometimes you know something that's true, but you don't need to say it. Scripture goes ahead and gives us the real, true picture of what these people were like. How do you feel about these folks? What do you think of their behavior? An old man loses his eyesight and he wants to do something wonderful for one of his sons before he dies. His wife sets his other son up to trick him, and the son goes along with it. And when the old man finds out, look at verse 33. Isaac trembled violently. When I was a kid, there was a singer named Elvis Presley. And there was a line that he used in one of his songs that became famous. It said, I'm all shook up. Okay? The idea is, this rocks my world so much that I'm just trembling. I'm utterly shocked. I'm just agog. Isaac is shaking, so upset, he doesn't know what to do. He realizes he's been tricked. How would you feel? Where would this boy get such a notion? How in the world would this... Whose son is this? Isaac's. What did we learn about Isaac before we learned this? Remember, he told Abimelech that his wife was his sister, and she wasn't. She was not his sister. She was a distant cousin. Not okay to do that. Don't lie. But he lied. He lied. And the family knew it. Because it was kind of lore in the family, because Isaac learned how to do that from his daddy, who did the exact same thing, and not just once, but over and over and over again. Abraham lied and pretended that his wife, who was his half-sister, was really just his half-sister. She's my sister. She's my sister. Say you're my sister. Okay? In order to get what he wanted, which is sparing his life, he lied. His son Isaac comes along and does the same thing. Now Jacob is doing the same thing, and Isaac doesn't like it at all. The first point for you to jot down this morning, for those who are taking notes, is that the natural pattern is to repeat the sins of our ancestors. That's the natural pattern. And it requires God's power to break the cycle. If you grow up in a family where there is a history of substance abuse, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, that kind of thing, you have a much greater likelihood of having a problem with substance abuse than somebody who doesn't grow up in that kind of family. Now, you can grow up in a family where there's no substance abuse and become a substance abuser. You can grow up in a family where there is substance abuse and not become a substance abuser. But the likelihood of your becoming a substance abuser, if you grow up in a family where there's substance abuse, much, 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 much higher. In fact, according to Anderson Spickard, who was the head of the alcoholism treatment unit at Vanderbilt University for many years, Dr. Spickard reports in his book, Dying for a Drink, that if, in a study showed that if a child, a male child, is separated from his biological alcoholic father at birth, never sees him, doesn't have dad's booze in the womb, because, you know, that's dad's not able to nurture the child in his womb. So he's not getting alcohol while he's in the womb, and he never sees his father from birth. But his father's an alcoholic. The likelihood that that male child will become an alcoholic is 9 times greater than a male child whose father is not an alcoholic. 9 times greater. Not 9% greater. Or 90% greater, 900% greater, 9 times greater. Does that mean it's a curse? I can't help it. My dad was an alcoholic, and even though I've never met him, even though I've never known him, even though I've never observed him getting drunk, because he's my father, I'm doomed to drink? No, it doesn't mean you're doomed to drink. It means you are at much greater risk. You understand that? And if you grow up in a home, by the way, you know how you can avoid becoming an alcoholic? Never take a drink. Never. Just absolutely, that's just off the list. That's something I don't do. I don't rob banks. Never robbed one in my life. And I feel quite confident that by the time I die, people will be able to say, well, you know, he had some faults, but he never robbed a bank. I just don't do that, okay? It's not something I can say, well, you know, Christmas is coming. It'd be nice to have some extra cash. What could I do? I could rob a bank. No, that's just not an option. If you want to avoid alcohol abuse, try just not drinking. It's possible to just not drink. I don't know. I mean, you see it advertised everywhere. The best commercials during the Super Bowl are always the beer commercials. Okay. So, don't take a drink.
but it looks so good. Just don't do it.
If you grow up in a home where there's a sin pattern, whatever that sin pattern is, you are likely to repeat it. The only thing that can prevent that and break the cycle is the grace of God. You need to turn to Him to break the cycle. You need to ask Him to help you to be different. My father grew up in a home where his father had a horrible temper. My father started out his life that way. By the time I came along, my dad was turning 48 years old, and suffice it to say, he'd known the Lord for decades, and his life had changed, and I never observed the kind of behavior that my older siblings did. They didn't see a lot of it, but they saw it on a few occasions when Dad lost his temper and said things he shouldn't have said. By the time I came along, God's grace had changed my father so profoundly that I would never have guessed Dad had that kind of temper. It is possible to change, but not on your own. You need God's grace and God's power to change you. The second thing, however, that I want you to jot down as a note about this, and that we'll see as we go through this story, is that God is at work even in our failures. God is at work even in our failures. What Jacob did was wrong, but it accomplished God's purpose. I mean, was it right or was it wrong? It was wrong. So he shouldn't have done that. Yeah, he shouldn't have done that. Would God have had another way of giving him the blessing? Yeah, God can do whatever he wants. But God not only knew what was going to happen, God put the pieces in place before time began. Was it wrong for wicked people to nail Jesus to the cross? Absolutely. Was it the plan of God? Absolutely. That makes it seem like God is the author of sin. No, it doesn't. Well, it kind of does. Well, yeah, it kind of does. But if you look at the rest of what Scripture says, God is clearly not the author of sin, but God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. God is at work in this situation. And God had chosen before they were born that Jacob was going to get the blessing. It was God's plan, not just God's permission, not just God allowing Jacob to get the blessing. God ordained him. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's choice. Now, I'll tell you, I don't really like Esau all that much. You know, I mean, I see him as kind of this uncouth oaf. Okay? He's the hairy guy who just, I mean, you can smell him coming. All right? And yeah, he's a good hunter, but, you know, not very good at business. Okay? Bowl of soup, twice as much inheritance. Bowl of soup, twice as much inheritance. All right, now I'd like the soup. You know, that's Esau. So I'm not real impressed. But at least he's not a crook. Jacob's a crook. Jacob's a liar. And his mama set him up for it. I want you to see, when she heard that Isaac is about to give the blessing to Esau, she immediately gets Jacob and she says, "Look, I overheard," this is verse 6, "I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.'" This is a holy moment. We're invoking the presence of God. And she's like, "Well, let's slip in a lie, okay? That I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you." Jacob responds, verse 11. Jacob said to his mother, But mother, that would not be honest. Is that what he says? That's not what he says. But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him. It would look as if I'm trying to trick him. What? No. I'm sorry, that's not what it would look like. That's what it is. Okay? He's not concerned about right and wrong. He's concerned, I might get in trouble for this. I'm not sure I can pull it off, and if I fail to pull it off, I could get in trouble. I'll end up getting a curse instead of a blessing. Her response, let the curse fall on me. You do what I say. Okay? She's not concerned about right and wrong. He's not concerned about right and wrong. The whole question is, can we get away with it? That's the question. And she says, I've got a plan. You don't worry about it. You just do what I say. And he's like, okay. And he does what mama says. And what mama says is just really amazing. First of all, how hairy was Esau? Hairy as a goat. Okay? I mean, that's what it says in the text. They put the skin of the goat that he killed on his neck. And his dad feels that and is like, yeah, that's my boy. That's the mullet right there. Okay. He's got that hair on the back of his neck. And his hands. Let me feel his hands. Yeah? He feels a goat skin and he thinks it's his son. What does that tell you about Esau? Okay? But picture Jacob standing there with goat skin strapped on. I mean, is this embarrassing. Would you say this family is really a healthy family? Or would you say this is dysfunctional? Right? I mean, these are the kind of people you see on television. They would have their own show today. Okay? I'm just telling you, these folks are a mess. And Jacob's whole concern is not about right and wrong, it's about getting away with it. And his mom says, I've been tricking your father a long time. I know what to do. Okay? Now, I just have to say as an aside that when she heard the father, Isaac, say to Esau, go and prepare me the kind of food I really like, if you're the mom and you're the main cook, how would that sound to your ears? Okay? How do you think my wife would like it if I said to one of my daughters-in-law, hey, you know what I really like to eat. Would you please fix me a really good meal? You think my wife would be bothered by that? I guarantee you she would. Okay? And so here what she says is, I know how to... Where do you think Esau learned how to cook? I know how to do this. I can fix him the kind of food he likes. Why didn't he ask me? He asked Esau instead. Why does he want Esau to prepare the meal? And she says, I'm going to fix it exactly the way he likes. And she does. It was curry. Okay, it's not in the text. I can just tell. Okay? If you're fixing goat or venison, curry is really good. Okay, just so you know. But in this story, and remember, this is a true story. This really happened. His son comes in there dressed in Esau's best clothes. Mom got Esau's best clothes and put them on Jacob. Jacob comes in there wearing his brother's clothes and goat skins. And his father says, something's not right. You're here too soon. Oh, that's because the Lord your God gave me success. Let's just bring God into our lying, shall we? Do you think people nowadays would ever be so wicked as to bring God into it and say, you know, the reason I'm here is God sent me. God's the one who says this is okay. I mean, this is bad stuff happening. This is wicked behavior. And Jacob is doing it because mama said so. If your mom tells you to do something wicked, Don't do it. Don't do it. No one has the authority to tell you to do something that God forbids. Don't do that. It's not okay. But Mama said I should. Well, that doesn't mean you should. I've known situations back in college. I had a friend whose mom encouraged her to be sexually immoral. Said it would do her good. That's what she needed. To get some experience with men. Let me tell you something. Her mom also, when she was younger, took her to a demonic, occult, religious thing in Haiti because she thought it was interesting. And that gal was plagued by an evil spirit until God delivered her from it during the years we were in college together. But her mom, when we started tracing where did this spirit come from, her mom had taken her to a séance in Haiti. The fact that it's your parent trying to get you to do something doesn't make it okay for you to do it. Is that clear? If it's not right, it's not right, no matter who tells you it's all right. I know a woman who came to me and she said, "Help me to deal with my feelings toward my husband. When he met me, he was a married man, and he seduced me. We were co-workers at a big corporation. He seduced me, and part of what I found so fascinating about him was he was telling me about God and about Jesus." And she said, "While cheating on his wife, he was teaching me the gospel." And she said, "I fell in love with him. I gave my heart to the Lord. He divorced his wife. We got married. And then I began to study the scriptures and learned that that was all wrong. And now I have these very conflicted feelings because I still find him attractive, but I'm thinking, how could he possibly be committing adultery with me while trying to lead me to Christ?" True story. Let me just tell you, there are people who want to bring God's blessing into their sin. It's not okay. It's not okay. I don't care who tries to tell you it's all right. Don't do stuff that God says you're not supposed to do. Don't do it. The Apostle Paul, talking about the proclamation of the gospel, says, "Even if I myself or an angel from heaven preaches to you another gospel other than that which you've received, let him be accursed." Understand this. God doesn't change. God's word does not change. So no matter who tries to tell you it's okay, if God says it's not okay, it's not okay. Is that clear? So, Jacob, following his mom's instruction, totally tricks his dad. And his dad says, the voice is that of Jacob. But smells like Esau. This is just really tragic. Wouldn't you think at some point, maybe Jacob could have spoken up and said, "Dad, I'm sorry, I can't go through with this. Mom wanted me to trick you. And I should never have gone along with it." Wow. We'd have a different story, wouldn't we? I think he might have still gotten the blessing. But God is at work even in our failures. Please note that. God is at work even in our failures. So does that make it okay to sin? No, it means that God is okay even when we sin. And God will work out what is for the best, despite our failures. Jesus was crucified by wicked people doing something wicked. And through that event, salvation has been brought to all who believe. That is good news. Don't think that unless we get it together here, God's plan is not going to come to pass. God will accomplish His purpose. God will be glorified, and the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Guaranteed. God said so. That settles it. Years ago, there was a popular bumper sticker Christians like to put on their cars and trucks. Said, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, if God says it, you need to believe it. But let me tell you something. All you need is God said it, that settles it. Because it settles it whether you believe it or not. Is that clear? God's word is eternal. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will never pass away. So, when Esau comes in, after Jacob has received the blessing, Esau comes in. Isaac realized that he's been tricked, and he's very upset. But he also knows that what he has spoken is not just his word. It is the word of God. He has pronounced a blessing, and our words do have power. And we need to realize that. And so Esau asks, "Don't you have any blessing for me?" And so his father pronounces words over him that don't seem much like a blessing. Your dwelling will be away from earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw off his yoke from your neck. It's not a great promise, but it's all I got. And you know what? Both of these prophecies from Isaac have played out through history. This is the way it has turned out. And you can look at world events today and you will still see this happening. The descendants of Jacob, the Jews, surrounded by hostile relatives. And the Jews are the ones who are prospering. God's at work. God's at work. People can be upset about it. People can say it's not right. Let me tell you, God is at work in human history. And God is the one who chose the means by which He would bring salvation. Jesus came so that we could have life. But it doesn't come about by our hard work. It doesn't come about by our intelligence. It doesn't come about by our righteousness. It comes about through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can bring salvation, who can bring freedom. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, when I read this story, I'm saddened because it is a picture not just of a dysfunctional family of long ago, but of my heart apart from You. I was born a sinner, and I demonstrated it from the earliest opportunity. And I deserve Your wrath. Thank You for sending Jesus to save sinners like me. Help me, I pray, to display Your grace and to offer hope to people who feel trapped in sin. Thank you that what we could never accomplish has been done for us in Jesus Christ. And that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.